Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, by the light of the Holy Spirit that instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit they may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. How many of y'all remember Simon and Garfunkel? There's a few out there. Remember Simon and Garfunkel? Remember the soundtrack of the movie The Graduate? Oh, yeah. Okay, now I remember. Yeah. Dustin Hoffman became a big movie star after that movie, you know. And Mrs. Robinson, okay, remember her in the movie? And that song they sang about Mrs. Robinson, and that little line that kind of gives me all the time is, you know, heaven holds a place for those who pray, Mrs. Robinson. You know, so, you know, it's always interesting to hear that song. In fact, I got it on my CD right now playing some of the great songs of Simon and Garfunkel, because they really did some good stuff. But that line always kind of tickles me. You know, the guy says, you know, heaven holds a place for those who pray, Mrs. Robinson. Okay, and so you kind of get that line. I thought about that when I read this gospel, you know, about this woman that comes to this judge, you know, and he's blowing her off, you know, like, get out of here, old lady, don't bother me, okay? But she keeps coming back, knocking on the door, help me, grant me justice. He's, get away from me, don't bother me. But she keeps coming back, she's persistent. And that's what Jesus says, you know, that we got to be persistent in prayer. And that's the point is, that, you know, no matter what's going on, if it looks like things ain't working out, you got to stay at it, you know, stay on your knees, be praying all the time. And in fact, the supreme duty of us is prayer. Now, there's a little handout on the back table. I gave out some last week called The Rule of Life, those who have them. Okay, if you didn't get one, pick it up. It's all about daily prayer, reading your Bible, and doing some action. It's all that stuff about what you should be doing as a Christian. It's all about discipline. I like that word, discipline, you know, because it talks about the idea of doing something that you've got to do repetitively. And that's what Jesus is talking about. This judge who in this town who did not fear God and didn't care about people. I mean, this is a judge. How did he get the job? He must have paid somebody to get the job or whatever. So anyway, he don't care about God. He don't care about people. And so, but this little old lady, he says, you know, if I don't grant her some justice, she's going to wear me out because she's persistent. And that's what Jesus says. You know, his people, won't God grant justice to his people also when they come to him in prayer all the time? So you got to just bear down and keep at it. But then the last line says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So the question is, okay, you're at it praying all the time. You're doing all those little nice things that you should be doing. But do you have faith? That's the question, okay? And that's, will I find faith on the earth when I come? So that's his question there, okay? So basic issue is that how can folks remain faithful in all the adversity we face? And there's plenty of adversity out there. Even back in them days, even in our day. Right? Do I hear an amen out there?
Amen.
Amen. You're darn right. There's plenty of it out there. Okay? The issue is that there's so much adversity and things that are going on with us. We got to kind of bear down and keep at it. We got to pray all the time. That's what he says. So, in the parable, we're confronted with this judge. Don't care about man. Don't care about God. He's a bad judge. About as bad as you can find, if you think about it. And so, people did not expect justice from this character because he's a bad character. But the thing is, they knew what they had. Okay? It's like, you know, I used to hear people talk about, I was at Fort Gordon, you know, we was in there, we had if the director of the department or the commander of the battalion, you know, was a bad guy, you know, we'd always say like, oh man, I'm glad when this guy leaves, okay? And the question was, you don't know who's waiting in the wings. You know what I mean? You don't know who's waiting in the wings, so be careful what you pray for, okay? Sometimes you get what you want, or what you pray for. And so in the same sense here, that he's talking about folks who did not expect justice from this guy, and so after all, this widow keeps coming to him all the time, bugging the guy. She was powerless. All she had was her persistence. And sometimes when we come to God, that's all we got is our persistence, okay? Because things ain't working out. You know the story I told about my wife and I and her nephew back in 1990. I mean, this kid came here. They lost his little paper that came from the INS. And so his parents kept bugging us. The lawyer of Atlanta, you know, he said, I don't know what happened to it. He got lost in the mail. And so we were praying, you know. And my wife, you know, she was a great prayer. You know, she's a prayer warrior. She was at it day and night. I mean, we were praying day and night for this thing. Went on for a year and a half. A year and a half praying for this thing. But finally, the INS heard us, okay? Okay, we'll take care of it now, thanks. Took you all this time. But that's persistence, okay? And that's what Jesus is talking about. We got to be persistent. We may not see anything happening, but you got to pray at it all the time. And the question is, you know, what are you going to do? And with God, you know, there's three answers to prayer, you know. Like, well, what were we doing the other day? And he right, we had to throw the Urim and the Thummim, my coins we cast. Was one of the, I forgot, was that Wednesday night? Oh, it was Wednesday night, right. Now, those who know about the Urim and the Thummim, you know, I have two coins in my pocket. They're Susan B. Anthony dollars, and I use them to find out what God says, okay? And some of the folks in the youth group know about this. And what I do is I just shake the coins up, and wherever they fall, if it's two heads, the answer is yes. If it's two tails, the answer is no. If it's a head and a tail, guess what? Wait! Don't we have that all the time with God? You know that, the prayer, you're praying all the time, you're praying, it's like with Bugs Bunny, you know, he's tap dancing out there on the stage in that cartoon, and Daffy Duck are dancing, and Daffy, everybody claps their hands for Daffy, but when Bugs Bunny taps his dance, what happens? It's like, you know, crickets out there. It's like with God. What's going on? Are you hearing my prayer? Can you hear me up there? What's going on? Quiet. That's that weight stuff. But the question is, like Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith? Are you going to hang in there? Are you going to be strong, be tough, and deal with the situation? So persistent prayer is like keeping at it all the time. Paul tells us, again, remember he says in the letter to Timothy there, you know, all scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. Actually, the Greek word is God-breathed, okay? God breathes it out, okay? Comes from him, everything we have in scripture. And so it's intended, again, to build up our faith, okay? Scripture is there to help us build our faith up, okay? So the action, we got to be at it all the time. We got to be studying the scripture to learn from God. And as it says in the letter to the Hebrews, it's like a sword. The word of God is like a sword. It's living and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Well, that's rough, okay? Paul says, you know, it's for reproof, okay, for dealing with righteousness, okay? Because when it comes to righteousness, righteousness is our relationship with God. If you want to be righteous, okay, you got to be in a right relationship with God. And so how do we get there? We get there by this discipline of studying and scripture and prayer, okay? Understanding what God wants. It's the word of God. And the question, of course, is that, remember the famous British author Sir Walter Scott was dying, and his attendant was reading to him, you know, to kind of pass the time away. Thousands of books in the man's library. And the attendant said, what book do you want? He said, need you ask? He said, there is but one book. And, of course, it was the Bible, okay? That's what he wanted. So here we are. Got the Bible, the book of books. What are we going to do about this thing? First of all, we got to accept its authority. Now, there are a lot of things which have authority with us. I mean, you know, sometimes people, the boss said, do this and that. Okay, sometimes it's culture. Well, everybody's doing it. Okay, sometimes it's tradition. Well, we've always done it this way. I always like that one. We've always done it this way. Okay, have you heard that a lot? Oh, yeah. Okay, we've always done it this way. Okay, and sometimes it's reason. Well, I thought it was the best thing we could do. Okay, sometimes it's feelings. Well, it just feels right. I always like that one, you know. Why'd you get that affair? It just felt right. Okay. Oh, sure. Okay. That's not going to work. Sooner or later, something hopefully we learn will be, something more reliable. And so the reliability we have is from the Word of God. Second of all, we want to incorporate its insights into our minds. Okay. Remember how Paul wrote Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness? Well, we do that by listening, reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating on God's Word. Third thing is that we want to practice the principles. Paul said we had to read Scripture that each person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means it takes practice, that discipline word again. If the Son of Man is to find faith on the earth when he returns, well, then we're going to have to apply the principles that we find in the Scripture. Not just read them, okay? Reading is one thing, applying is the other. As James says, do not be, you know, a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So they got to do this stuff, okay? James writes that we should be doers of the word and not just hearers. Another soldier who was entering a village in Okinawa many, many years ago during the war noticed that it was different from the others. It was clean, it was neat, it was orderly, it was happy. It seemed that two men had found a Bible left behind by a missionary. They read it, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. One became the leader in the town. The other one opened a school where he incorporated biblical principles and changed the whole place. They wanted to live like Jesus. There was a man named Dr. Emile Calais, who was taught at Princeton University many, many years ago. And, of course, this guy was, you know, a total unbeliever. And we got even worse when he was in World War One and saw the death and destruction. So, you know, there was nothing he could find, even though all the reading he had done, there was never a book that could understand him. Then one day his wife ran across a Bible and gave it to him, and he read the book, okay, just to be doing something, I guess. And he finally said, "I found a book that understands me," okay? So this man finally read something that he could understand, that understand him. So the question is, again, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, it was a man, of course, that understands what we're going to do. Okay, that comes only from the Bible. The answer to the question, of course, that we incorporate our lives are the two pillars of a life of faith is prayer and the Bible. And, of course, that's one of the questions we have, of course, when we start talking about confirmation classes, about what should we do? We should base our lives upon prayer and what we find in the Bible. And there's always these illustrations of things that go on about how things can turn out that may not seem the same, you know, when they start out. For example, 1954 opening season, the Braves visited Cincinnati Reds. Two rookies began their major league careers in that game. The Reds won 9-8 as their rookie Jim Greengrass hit four doubles in his first big league game. Now, the other sensational start. So, but the other rookie for the Braves in left field went 0-5 that day. It was not a good start for Hank Aaron. But as we know later on, things turned around for him. In the same way, talking about sports, because it's football season, Walter Payton, remember Sweetness, Chicago Bears, okay? Remember this guy had what? Well, he had about almost nine miles of, you know, running yardage and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And one of the commentators on Monday Night Football said, yeah, that's where somebody knocking you down every 4 or 5 yards. Not bad. Persistence, okay? All those football, I remember Jim Brown. I remember, there's a few of us who can remember Jim Brown, the Cleveland Browns. Every time that man got knocked down, I looked like he was hurt. He would get back up. He'd be creeping back to the huddle. I said, oh, man, this guy is hurt. But no, he'd come blasting out again. Boom! I mean, what's going on? But he would get up slowly and go back to the huddle. Boom! Come out again. Okay? Persistence. That's what we have to have, persistence. And so that's what it's all about when it comes to even the fact of when dealing with God. Okay? We got to deal with him and be persistent about what we're going on here. The question, of course, is about persistence, and it applies to everything in our practice in our lives. Now, again, stewardship commercial, beep, 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 beep. The issue, of course, is that it's stewardship time, again, this year. And so, again, we're going to be going on to it, and the fact is that part of our discipline is how we're going to do our giving, all right? And that's why we got the little flyers, it's a double hit this time, okay? We got in the bulletin. We've got the little short one, and of course, attached to the letter I gave you that should be out there, you should have got, is that the long sheet with all the little things you can probably do with your time also. So, in any case, what it means is that we have ample opportunity to apply discipline and also to apply this whole kind of persistence in our lives and dealing with becoming, you know, in a right relationship with God. And because giving is a part of that, and we can't outgive God, believe me, we can't outgive Him. The question is that how much are we going to be partaking in that this year also, in 2011. So we're going to have our little stewardship campaign that begins with this, with the letters we've had already this month. And, of course, now you've got the form in your hand. And so the next step is going to be you will be contacted by someone in the church, again, to make sure that you're going to put your pledge in this year. Okay? It's like, it's called an Every Member Canvas, but what it means is it's called an Every Member Contact. Okay? You'll be contacted to find out how much you want to, again, apply this discipline issue in your giving. Paul said that we should put on the full armor of God, so when the evil day comes that you may be able to stand your ground, after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can distinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. And prayer, of course, is that persistent prayer. Paul reminds of us, Jesus reminds of us, and I remind you of that. Prayer is persistent. And so that when you are praying and thinking about your stewardship for the coming year, you should be praying about it. That's the way he asks you to pray about it and get with God to find out exactly just how much he wants you, again, to participate in the ministry here at the church. Because we can do a lot of things that we said in the previous letters, new things that we want to get started around here. And so we need that, of course, to help. And we've got a lot of things to do around this church also. Nice building, need to be repaired. The building is 20 years old. 20 years old, 10, okay? And Parish Hall is 10 years old, okay? And so we need a lot of things to be done with that. And so we'll be thinking about, again, and praying about just how much your stewardship will be toward this year. And not only the money, your time and your talents, okay? How much you can participate in what's going on around you. So please, you know, be thinking about that and be praying about that. These words I have spoken in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.